It's time to pray, America. It's time to pray for change.
We need to see a change. America, America, come back to the place where you were in your beginning days. We need to stand on the firm foundations that our fathers laid. We need to see a change. We're lost inside the dark. Light up. God, redeem us. Holy Ghost, lead us today.
In 1966, the Holy Spirit spoke to Dale Gentry and said these words: "Give me the first hour of your day, and I'll change your life." He responded, and now over 40 years later, thousands across this nation and around the world pray daily with Dale.
It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. It's coming now, it's coming now, revival's coming now. Yes it is, and it's coming now, it's coming.
Your Hour of Power prayer leader, Dale Gentry.
Hey, good Monday, everybody. Good to have you listening in here on BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Going to be a great day today. Yesterday, Father's Day. Thank you so very, very much for all of you that sent me a Father's Day message or greeting. So very thankful to have you in my life. Last week, was a prophetic week. We shared a lot of prophetic words that the Holy Spirit has given me over the years, plus other prophetic voices have given. Just you enjoyed last week. This week is going to be a time of acknowledging people that have played a significant role in our lives. It's going to be a great week. It's going to be an awesome week. And I want to declare that this week I'm going to be playing some interviews of people that have influenced my life over the years. And, of course, I wouldn't have enough time to play all of those, but a few of those. And so stay tuned. I have a special interview today that I'm going to play of a man that's influenced my life over the years. Father, we just thank you for this day. Thank you for this Monday here on BPN Radio. And we declare, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen and amen. And so thank you for being here today. And we want this to be a week of giving honor to whom honor is due. And I'm so thankful for people today that helped me get started, because no one is an island to themselves. And somewhere, sometime, some people helped you get started. This week, I want to honor some of those people. And I realize that I run a risk of leaving somebody out. But I'm so grateful today for men and women that have sown into Gene and I over the years, as we celebrate this week, 49 years of ministry. Gene and I have been in the ministry now since June of 1966. And for the past 49 years, we know that we did not get here by ourselves. And so we're thankful for those people that's helped us along the way, including those of you that may be listening to BPN Radio today. Thank you for your prayer support. Thank you for financial support. And we are thankful and grateful for the journey. And we don't have any bad reports today. We're just so thankful and grateful. My pastor says I'm happy today, but I'm more thankful than I am happy. And so I'm going to be playing interviews and playing music this week, recognizing people that have sown into our lives as Gene and I celebrate 49 years in the ministry this week. Since June of 1966, we've been carrying the visions and dreams and words from the Lord, and we have been doing our best to complete the assignments that He's given us. And so I believe in giving honor to whom honor is due, and I'm going to do that this week. And so I want to start off today, before I come back and share some words and an interview, I want to share a song by a man that was my friend for several years, had a tremendous impact in my life, and his name is Rusty Goodman. He wrote and sang a song that Elvis Presley recorded, and I just want to play this song by Rusty Goodman, and it's called "Who Am I That a King Would Bleed and Die For?" So here's Rusty Goodman.
I think of how He came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame. Such disgrace on Mount Calvary, take my place. Then I ask myself this question: who am I? That He would pray, not my will thine for. The answer I may never know, why He ever loved me so. Through an old rugged cross He would go, for who am I?
When I'm reminded of His word,
if you'll be true, I'll give to you life forever.
Forever and forever. I know there's nothing that I could have done
to deserve God's only Son to fight my battles until they're won.
BPN Radio on a Monday. That's my friend Rusty Goodman, who is now with the Lord, and his daughter Tanya Goodman Sykes, and her and her husband Michael Sykes still live in Nashville, Tennessee, still doing the stuff. I'm thankful for the Goodman family, and thankful to have you here on BPN Radio as Gene and I honor people in our lifetime as we celebrate 49 years in the ministry from 1966 to 2015, and we were called to preach at the close of a service by Prophet David Wilkerson, Wichita Falls, Texas. Our pastor was Carl Alcorn. We give honor to these men that helped us get started, and it's so very, very important, ladies and gentlemen, to give honor to whom honor is due. It is so very, very important. This might be a good time, a good week, to take this opportunity to write somebody a letter and write somebody a note and just say, thank you. Thank you for being in my life. I'm very thankful and very grateful. And Gene and I, you know, I never intended to be in the ministry, because my daddy was a Pentecostal preacher. I didn't want to be in the ministry. I did not want to do that. So I chose to be a radio announcer, engineer, sportscaster, went to school, and was doing that when God called me to preach in June of 1966. I worked for a CBS affiliate, Wichita Falls, Texas, KWFT. People heard me on the radio every day. And so here I am back on the radio after all of these years in a different format, in a different fashion, being able to call people to pray and pray with people around the globe. But my dad influenced my ministry, O.C. Gentry, because he got up and prayed every morning. And it was amazing as he would call my name in prayer, what would happen. And then there were some men along the way who were pastors in my life that I will give honor to and express appreciation to for the role that they played in my life. And then Gene and I, in 1965, we moved to Wichita Falls, Texas, and began to attend the church of a man by the name of Carl Alcorn, who was a John Wayne fiery type of preacher. And he really challenged me to take the next step. And so in February of 1966, I began to get up and give God the first hour of my day, even though I had to be at work at 3:30 in the morning. I got up and began to pray. And then David Wilkerson came to our church, and 5 months later preached. God said to me, "Son, I want you to preach my gospel. Will you preach?" And I said, "Yes, yes, I will." And I went home and told Jean, and she said, "Yes, we will." And I went and told our youth pastor by the name of Kern Choate. If anybody's seen Kern Choate, tell him to contact me. I give him a shout out today, wherever he may be. And I asked him if I could preach at the youth service, and he said yes. So immediately I started preaching. And my first revival was in November of that year. A man by the name of John Hoker, First Assembly of God Church in Burke Burnett, Texas, invited me to lead a revival in the month of December. And along the way, some men began to encourage me, particularly a couple of brothers by the name of Curtis Newton and his brother, Calvin Newton, who was a former professional baseball player. And in March of 1967, Calvin Newton gave me my first revival as Gene and I left everything and began to preach and minister full time. And for the next several months, we had a lot of men that invited us to come and preach the gospel. And we are so very thankful and grateful for that opportunity. And one of those men that invited Gene and I to come in 1967 and lead a revival at the Assembly of God Church in Chicota, Texas, was C.H. Hyatt, Clarence Hyatt. And I have his son on today in an interview, but I want to honor this man's Pastor C.H. Hyatt's son today is going to be on the broadcast. But he helped me get started. C.H. Hyatt, Clarence Hyatt, a mighty man of God, and was a tremendous encouragement. And I had known Pastor Hyatt since I was 13, 14 years old when he brought his family to Walters, Oklahoma, where I was living at the time. And his family became great friends of ours and made a major impact. And C.H. Hyatt went to be with the Lord, and he had suffered much grief and sorrow. Two of his four sons were tragically killed, and still they kept the faith, did not lose their faith. Satan wants your faith, but they did not lose their faith. And later on, after we were in the revival, Gene and I were in the revival in the summer of 1967. One morning, Pastor Hyatt, C.H. Hyatt, got up and said to his wife, "I'm going home. I'm going home today." And she said, "What did you say, Clarence?" He said, "I'm going home today." And he went and lay down on his bed, closed his eyes, and went to be with the Lord. He was not sick, not ill. He just knew that he was going to go home. Incredible, incredible testimony of a homegoing by Pastor C.H. Hyatt in a little bitty town, Chicota, Texas, where he pastored for many years. And I'll never forget him telling me the story about prayer. He said, "I felt that I was to go to a pastor of church in Tipton, Oklahoma." And he said, "I went and prayed all night long." He said, "I prayed all night long. And when the sun came up, I knew I was going to be the pastor of that church." And so it was. And so he was. And so what an incredible, incredible testimony that was, C.H. Hyatt had. So I'm going to be back in just a few moments to interview his son, Eddie Hyatt, Dr. Eddie Hyatt, whom I've been friends with all the way back to about 1958 or 1959, somewhere. That's a long time. Anyhow, Eddie Hyatt is one of the greatest historians, Christian historians, that I've ever known, ever read, and I'm going to be introducing him in just a few moments. But first of all, I want to play you a song here on BPN Radio. When Gene and I went to, in October of 1967, to be the pastors of the Assembly of God Church in Holladay, Texas, there was a family, three young men and their sister, who came and led a revival, a youth revival at that church. And the young people got out, invited other young people every day. And then this group would minister at night. And I'm going to play a song by them. They had relatives in the church there in Holladay, Texas. And their names are Larry and Rudy and Steve Gatlin, their sister LaDonna. And they would sing each night, and Larry Gatlin would preach. He was an incredible preacher. You may not have known that. But anyhow, it was a great youth revival. Many lives were touched and changed. So before Eddie Hyatt comes, I just want to thank the Gatlin brothers for coming and leading a revival at there at the Assembly of God Church in Holladay, Texas, in the summer of 1968. So here's the song that they have recorded and sung, called In the Garden. They got their start in Christian music, and so they're going to sing right now, the Gatlin Brothers. Okay, it's good to have on BPN Radio today a longtime friend of mine, in fact, a childhood friend of mine, a man that I've known over 50 years. And it's a privilege today to have Dr. Eddie Hyatt on. And Eddie holds a doctor of ministry from Regent University, where he majored in church history, spiritual renewal. He also holds the Master of Divinity and Master of Arts in historical theology from Oral Roberts University. Eddie has lectured on revival church history, various biblical themes in churches, conferences, and some of the major educational institutes in the world, including Oxford University in England. He has authored several books, including 2,000 Years of Charismatic Christianity, which is used as a textbook in colleges and seminaries around the world. Eddie is the founder of the Revive America Project, whose purpose is to lay the biblical and historical foundations for another great spiritual awakening in our land. Eddie makes his home in Grapevine, Texas, where he resides with his wife of 39 years, Susan, who is his partner in life and ministry. Eddie, welcome to BPN Radio today.
Hey, Dale, thank you. I'm so glad to be so blessed to be here with you.
And
we go back a long way.
We go back to we go way back to Cotton County, Oklahoma.
And Walters, Oklahoma.
Yeah. And, of course, your mom and dad were wonderful friends of ours. I preached one of my first revivals back in 1967 for your mother and father, great couple. And, of course, your brothers were great friends of ours. So the Hyatt family has been a part of our lives for many years. And it's so good to have you on today. And I know that you you are a man that's studied charismatic history for 2,000 years. And let's talk about revival, because I know that that you have a project now called Revive America. And just tell me what's going on and what you see happening in America concerning revival. I've been praying now for a long time. And
yes, I know, Dale, and I really appreciate your passion and prayers for revival. And, you know, this Revive America project, it really started back in 2010. And at that time, I had just sort of given up hope that America would ever see another great national spiritual awakening that would impact and change the direction of the entire nation. We had seen revival in the, you know, in the 90s and on up afterwards, but they seemed to be mostly local, regional, didn't have some of them just within the four walls of the church. And then there were a lot of just, duplicate revivals, hyped, man-made revivals. And I had just given up hope that we would see the kind of revival that would change the culture of this country and revive the churches of America and stem the tide of false religion and immorality that seems to be flooding our land. But God apprehended me one Saturday. He surprised me and apprehended me one Saturday afternoon and restored my hope that our nation can see another great spiritual awakening. And Dale, it happened like this. And you're probably familiar with, because you spent a lot of time in Oklahoma. Yes. I had an invitation to speak for some friends of mine who were pastoring a Church of God in Kingfisher, Oklahoma.
Yeah, I know where that's at.
Yeah, and they had built a new building. They asked me to come over and speak at the dedication. And this was, I think, in July of 2010. So I was going to drive over on Saturday. It was a hot, sunny day. Got in my car, pulled out on the highway for about a 2.5-hour drive. And without expecting it, in no way even thinking or praying or expecting it, I got out on the highway and my mind started being flooded with positive, hopeful thoughts of faith that America could see another great spiritual awakening. And it just seemed that my car, my vehicle, was filled with God's presence. I just felt wrapped in God's presence, and my mind was flooded with these thoughts of hope and expectation that America could see another great spiritual awakening. And this continued for the entire drive. I was hardly aware of my surroundings. And by the time I got to my hotel, I could hardly wait to get inside and get out my computer and start writing down these thoughts and concepts that were coming to me. And this experience, this what I know was a visitation of the Lord, continued far into the night. And out of that came my book, America's Revival Heritage, where I document that this nation was birthed out of a great spiritual awakening. And Dale, that day, two things happened through that visitation of the Lord. First of all, my hope was renewed that we can see another great spiritual awakening in our land. Secondly, I saw for the first time, even though I had studied the first great awakening in colonial America, for the first time through this experience, I saw that there was a direct connection between the first great awakening and the founding of the nation. And so, again, out of that came my book, America's Revival Heritage, in which I document this fact that America was actually birthed out of a great spiritual awakening. And but then I think it was last spring, last year, I won't go into detail, but through a series of providential events, I put together a PowerPoint presentation documenting the same thing about how America was birthed out of a great spiritual awakening. And I began to open the way, to God began to open the way to do these Revive America events. The first one, I presented last fall in the Capital District of New York, the capital, Albany, Schenectady, New York. And I thought it was interesting, I think even providential. I was told there that the that area, the Capital District of New York, was recently identified by George Barna as the most post-Christian America in the most post-Christian area in America. So I thought it was appropriate that the first Revive America event took place in what has been identified as the most post-Christian era of America. So, Dale, I have hope and expectation for this coming year. Yes, I'm not oblivious to the world in which we live, and I know there will be challenges in the year ahead, but I also know that God is still on his throne. Jesus is still at his right hand. The Holy Spirit is still being poured out. So I am entering this year with great hope and expectations for what God will do in the coming days.
Well, Eddie, I know that you're a great historian. So what were the ingredients on the first and second awakenings in America that brought revival? What were the ingredients, and what do we need to look for a third great awakening?
I would say a couple of things that I would mention in the first great awakening. And you know, the first pilgrims to America who came in the early 1600s, they were very devout followers of Jesus. They were revivalists. They were reformers. They were being persecuted in their homeland because they wanted to follow the Bible. They wanted to see a restoration of the Christianity of the New Testament, and that is why they came to America there in the early 1600s. And even in what's called the Mayflower Compact, they state that they have come to this new land, two things they say, for the glory of God and for the advancement of the Christian faith. But as often happens, second and third generations of these pilgrims, Puritans, did not have the same commitment and the same vision as their forefathers and foremothers. One Puritan pastor put it like this. He said, religion gave birth to prosperity, and the daughter devoured the mother. What he's saying is that first generation, they were people, they had a work ethic, they worked hard, they trusted God, they prayed, they would have days of what they called humiliation and prayer. And their faith in God and their hard work produced prosperity in their lives. But then their children and their grandchildren, they begin to focus in on the prosperity as a goal, and that became what they were seeking and pursuing. And that's why this pastor said that their religion, their faith, gave birth to prosperity, but then the daughter devoured the mother. So by the time the early 1700s rolled around, colonial America was in a very backslidden state. People describe the country as being spiritually indifferent. And also, there is much immorality and lewdness. And what happened, there were people who were concerned. and they begin to do what you're doing, Dale, and this is why I think what you're doing is so important. They begin to, different people, now it wasn't widespread, but there were a few. They begin to set aside times of prayer and fasting and even days of prayer and asking God to pour out his spirit upon the land. And the answer did not come the first year, even the second year or the third year. This went on for several years until in 1726, God began to answer from heaven, and there came a mighty awakening transformed colonial America. In fact, entire towns repented. One of our founding fathers, Benjamin Franklin, you know, it's questionable about his, you know, his Christianity. I believe there is evidence that he did, before he died, have a personal relationship with God through Jesus, but that is still debated. But nonetheless, he wrote in his autobiography about when this awakening came to Philadelphia. He said, from being thoughtless and indifferent about religion, it seems that the whole world is going religious. He said, so that you can't walk through the town without hearing people praying and praising God coming from houses on every street. Now, as we can see from what Benjamin Franklin said, this was not just a nice meeting going on inside of a little church building.
Right, right.
He said, you can't walk through the town on any street. You go down any street walking through the town, and you will hear people singing and praising God coming from houses on every street.
Yeah.
This awakening transformed entire cities and towns, and this is what gave birth to our country, Dale, and this is what we have to realize. And so I commend you for your emphasis on prayer, because that was a key. And I would say that the other key was the message that they preached. And so I think it's very important that we really recover the gospel message. There was a Harvard professor, a late Harvard professor. He was an atheist, but someone has called him a fair-minded atheist. And he was a recognized expert on Puritanism and early American history. Anyway, he said the Declaration of Independence of 1776 was a direct result of the preaching of the evangelist of the Great Awakening, not just the act of preaching, but the message they preached. So I would say, first of all, there was a remnant of people who really gave themselves to prayer and seeking God for a renewal of the original vision of this country. Then the message, what was the message? Well, here are some things, you know, Dale, that I have distilled in the message that they preached. First of all, God to them was a great, majestic, and holy God who deserved the honor and respect of every human being upon earth. If you read their sermon, they talk about God in tones of awe and reverence. They don't talk about God flippantly or frivolously. God is a majestic and awesome and holy being to whom we all owe our respect and honor and all that we have. Secondly, they taught that we are part of a human race, that Adam's race is a fallen race, that the human race is separated from God, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are in need of God's salvation. And of course, and they emphasize that the only way that a person can be saved is through Jesus Christ. But they emphasize the fallenness of humanity, and that God would be just, would have been just in sending the whole human race to hell. In other words, it would have been right, it would have been just, because of our sins and our rebellion against God, that no angels in heaven would have complained that God had sent the human race to hell, because it would have been right and just for him to do that because of our sin and our rebellion. But this is where they taught the grace of God, that God somehow in his goodness and grace, God sent his own son. God himself came to earth, provided the sacrifice that was necessary, and that there is only one way to be saved, and that is through Jesus Christ. And they also, they called it digging up the old foundations. In other words, they emphasized that a person cannot be saved just because their families were Christian, just because they're a member of a church, just because They are an outstanding citizen in society just because they're successful in their business, just because they're a church member. They emphasize that those are faulty foundations and that the only way a person can be saved is coming and putting their entire trust in Jesus Christ. So theirs was a very Christ-centered message. I thought it was interesting in Benjamin Franklin's autobiography. I think he was maybe he was speaking with a bit of hyperbole about George Whitefield, with whom he became friends, the most famous preacher of Awakening.
Yeah.
But he emphasizes how Whitefield was emphasizing the fallenness of the human race, and he said he was so surprised that the people loved and respected Whitefield so much. Because in Benjamin Franklin's words, he said he commonly abused them, telling them that they were no better than half beast and half devil. But what Whitefield was doing was emphasizing that their sinfulness outside of Christ, their fallenness, and how much they needed a Savior.
Yeah.
And so anyway, they emphasize, you know, that you can't trust in church membership. You can't trust in your family pedigree. You can only trust in Jesus Christ. So, Dale, I think it was prayer, and I think also that they really recovered the essence of the gospel message. And this is important, because what did Paul say in Romans 1:16? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it, the gospel, is the power of God and salvation.
Yeah.
So we need to make sure we're really preaching that New Testament gospel message today.
Yeah. Well, I believe that God did it once, twice in America, and I too agree that I'm believing for a third awakening. That's why I'm praying. Talk for a couple of minutes about your Revive America project. What is involved in that, and what's happening with that?
Well, the statement I have, I have a blog called the Revive America Project, and my description for it is laying the biblical and historical foundations for another great spiritual awakening in our land. So, you know, there are many people, Dale, that I got an email from someone just recently rebuked me for talking about another great awakening, and because their eschatology, their theory, their doctrine of the end times does not allow for there to be any last days revival. They only focused on those scriptures that talk about the love of many waxing cold, perilous times, and so on.
Yeah.
But what I tell people, yes, that is true. But the very same Bible says, it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh.
Yeah.
So I try to show the biblical basis for believing God for a great spiritual awakening, but also the historical basis for believing it for America. And this is where I emphasize and document America's overt Christian foundings. And this is very important, because as George Orwell said in his famous book, 1984, whoever controls the past controls the future.
Yeah.
And that is why there has been an overt attempt by secularists to rewrite America's history and to remove the Christian underpinnings of this nation's founding and this nation's past. So I know that it is very important to lay this historical foundation as well as the biblical foundation. And so this is what I am doing with this Revive America project. And I go into, Dale, I'm going in wherever God opens the door. I go in, and in 3 to 5 sessions, I present this PowerPoint overhead presentation documenting America's overt Christian beginnings out of a great spiritual awakening, and how all of the founders to one degree or another were impacted by this awakening. And I call people to repentance and to pray and ask God and to join you, people like you and others, in praying for another great awakening in our land. So that's a brief summary of my Revive America project.
Well, Eddie, I'm really encouraged by your belief that we're going to have another awakening, another outpouring of the Holy Spirit revival across America. And, of course, I'm believing it's going to happen in 1,000 cities in America. And tell us, in a moment I want you to pray, but tell the people how they can reach you, get in touch with you, because I know you have lots of materials, lots of historical books and revival tapes and videos, and just how can people reach you, Eddie?
Well, there's different ways. I can go to my website, which is just my name, eddiehyatt.com, EddieHyatt.com. They can connect with me on Facebook. Just look up Eddie Hyatt on Facebook. I have a blog called Revive America. They can just Google Revive America, and they'll find my blog. If they want to email me, my email is Dr. Eddie Hyatt, DrEddieHyatt at gmail.com. If you just Google my name, Eddie Hyatt, it will bring up my website and my blogs and different things. So that's an easy way to connect.
Okay, well, I really...
And my books are also on Amazon. If anybody wants to check out my books on Amazon, they're all on Amazon also.
Some incredible books, and you have gone to great lengths and efforts to record charismatic history and what God has done in the awakenings, and I'm so thankful for you. I want you to pray, however the Holy Spirit leads you, I want you to pray concerning America, concerning revival, and here on BPN Radio, and we're going to set ourselves in agreement with you.
Okay, and Dale, I want to just say to the listeners that I appreciate your passion and your commitment to prayer and to this radio network and to praying for another great spiritual awakening in our land and around the world. And may God add thousands of people and churches to this network to pray. And I know we're going to see great and mighty things in the days ahead. So Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to be together with my longtime friend Dale Gentry here on BPN Radio. Lord, I pray for every person who is listening today to our voice. I pray that you will, for anyone that the fire has gone down, I pray that you will rekindle the fire of God, the passion of God. You'll rekindle that first love that they once knew, oh God. Rekindle the fire and the passion of our love and commitment to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you will revive the churches of America, that you will turn the hearts of your people back to you, and you will rekindle the fires of revival that have burned in this nation from its very beginnings. God, by your Spirit, rekindle those fires of revival again and let them burn across this nation and jump the oceans into other nations. We pray, and I ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Eddie. And, of course, I highly endorse your ministry. I've known you for so long, and I know that you would be a blessing to any church, any pastor, or any group that might invite you to minister to them and for them. And so I appreciate you being on the broadcast today, and we'll continue to agree for revival in America and other spiritual awakening. Thank you so much for being on BPN Radio.
And thank you, Dale. God bless you.
God bless you. Well, good to have you listening in to BPN Radio here on this Monday. BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station. So delighted to have you listening in here today, and trust that you enjoyed the interview with Eddie Hyatt. And Eddie has given himself to revival in this nation, and he brought some tremendously encouraging words concerning revival. And we pray right now in Jesus' name for another spiritual awakening in America. We declare in Jesus' name, Lord, that you're at work in this nation, in this land, and we are so very thankful and grateful. And we give honor to Eddie Hyatt, his journey, Eddie and Sue Hyatt, and also to his entire family. Today this week we're honoring people that have helped us along the way. Gene and I are celebrating 49 years of ministry this week, as we started the ministry June of 1966. If you'd like to make a contribution to Breakout Prayer Network, you can do that by going to bpnradio.com, bpnradio.com. Down at the bottom of the page, there is a donate button, and you can click on the donate button, and you can have an opportunity to give to our ministry there.
Listening to BPN Radio.
And so we are so very, very thankful and grateful for the opportunity to be able to minister and to you. And I trust that you will make a contribution to BPN Radio. You can do that, and you can use your PayPal credit card. You can use your debit card, or you can, there's an address there. You can mail a check to Breakout Prayer Network. And we would be so very, very thankful to you for your contribution. All right. We want to give honor to whom honor's due. And we just want to pray with you today concerning the journey that you are on. And there just comes a time that you must selah, a pause, which means pause to consider. You read many times the book of Psalms. You just need to give you just need to take an opportunity to stop and remember the people that have helped you along the way, giving honor to whom honor is due, and that is very, very important. And so I just want to thank God. I want to thank God today for the people that have helped Gene and I along the way. I know there's other people that's been assigned to our life in the future, but I want to thank God for the people that have helped us along the way. And, you know, from 1966 till 1985, Gene and I served as evangelist in the Assemblies of God, and I want to thank the Assemblies of God today for giving me my start in the ministry. I'm very thankful. I'm very grateful. They took a chance on me. Gene and I started out ministering in 1967 with no credentials. And when we first met the state board for the Assemblies of God, and they asked what I was doing, I said, I'm out in full-time ministry. And they had a hard time believing that I had no official preaching credentials, but I was still out there doing the stuff. And so they took a chance on me. They moved me from the first level to the second level. And then in 1969, I was ordained as an Assemblies of God minister. And a man by the name of Charles Greenaway preached a message for us, to us, that I will never forget. I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful for the men and the Assemblies of God, the leadership that helped me get started there, encouraged me, and gave me opportunities to pastor churches in Rush Springs, Holiday, Texas, Rush Springs, Oklahoma, and Dell City, Oklahoma. And then in 1985, a man by the name of Larry Lee asked me to come to Rockwall, Texas, Church on the Rock, and help him. And so Gene and I left the pastorate 8.5 years in Dell City, Oklahoma, suburb of Oklahoma City, and we moved to Rockwall, Texas. And there is where we were introduced to the nation and nations of the world. And we were part of the fastest growing church in America at that time in 85, 86. We departed there in 1987. But those 2 years, Larry Lee helped open major doors of ministry, of affection, which we will always be grateful to him for these open doors that he gave. You cannot open doors by yourself, but I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that God has already prepared people to help you fulfill your destiny, to do what he's called you to do, say what he's called you to say, go where he's called you to go, and be what he has called you to be. And so along the way, we began to meet some men that really made an impact in our life. In 1986, we met Henry and Tina Malone. Henry was the pastor of Northside Baptist Church, and he helped open a lot of doors there. We met Garnet and Francis Pike. We met Bill and Sue Hart, who are still pastoring the same church. Cathedral of Praise here in Austin, Texas. We still minister there. They're still our friends. And then in 1987, I met Tom Peters, pastor of Trinity Church International, Lake Worth, Florida, have opened major doors in America around the world for us. Also, Bishop Tony Miller. We're still a part of that church in Oklahoma City, The Gate. And he was in Clewiston, Florida. He said, come over to Clewiston. And God began to open doors in 1988. We met Pastor Bob Nichols. During that time, I met David Briggs. Other men that have had, of course, Pastor Bob Nichols, still my pastor, and continues to speak into my life. But these were men that opened doors for me, for which I will be eternally grateful for. Men that spoke into my life. Of course, in 1986, I met the man that was to become my spiritual father, B.B. Hankins, and his two sons, Mark Hankins and Mike Hankins, played major roles in my life for a season. And, of course, I met Ralph Hagemeyer, who's an incredible statesman. As far as missionaries are concerned, it was during that time that I met, during those years that I met David Shibley, Dr. David Shibley, who's played such a major role in my life. And then Norman Barnes invited me to come to England. And it was there that I began to meet men like Martin Scott, Martin Smith, John Noble, Roger Ellis, Gerald Coates. And he introduced me to a ministry in... Norman Barnes introduced me to a ministry in India. And I began to have a relationship with Pastor Stephen and that group in India, which we need to be praying for today. And so the journey, we've been on the journey. And I am so thankful and grateful this week that I can recognize people that has helped me along the way. And I want to thank you that are listening to BPN Radio today and that have been listening for the past 8 months, praying with me for revival in America and other spiritual awakening. But as we pray today, we need to pause and consider, and you know that Thanksgiving is a major part of prayer. Today, I'm so thankful and I'm so grateful for who God has put in my life, and I want to give expressed appreciation. I thank you for listening today, being a part of BPN. I'll be back tomorrow at this same time or any time as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. You have a great day.
You've been listening to BPN Radio with Dale Gentry, your 24-hour internet prayer station. Tell your friends around the world to listen to this hourly broadcast as we pray for revival in America, another spiritual awakening. Remember, as America goes, so goes the world. BPN Radio is sponsored by you, their loyal listeners and prayer partners. To donate to this network, click on the Donate button on our website at www.bpnradio.com. Remember that your contributions are tax deductible. Tune in at the same time or any time, day or night, to pray with Dale Gentry.